country expands. And so, yeah, there's quite a few guys in this game that have all coached together at one point or another. And that's the coaching circles are pretty small in actuality. You know, it's a small circle of the coaching world.
Well, this tree kind of began with your dad, right? Uh-huh. As far as bridging Utah and BYU, maybe.
It did. He made that change, and it did.
Was that any good stories behind that when he switched gears, or was it just?
No, he had been out of it for a year. He was in the NFL for 10 or 11 years with the Rams. Then he went to scouting for a year. Just got the itch to coach again. And that same year, ironically enough, the DC job here at Utah came open. And he interviewed with Coach Mack and got the job, and the rest is history.
And the Whittinghams went from blue to red.
Overnight. Yeah, I mean, if blood is thicker than water. I say that all the time. But that's, we're a very close family, and family is everything to us.
Cool. When you think about, some of the kids here, Doman, Hanley, those are names that played for BYU against Utah. Is it kind of fun to see some of those kids kind of switch sides also?
Yeah, especially because they're good players, too. They're helping us win. We've had several through the years, not just now, but we've had for the last 8 to 10 years a lot of ex-Cougar players' offspring playing for us.
Is that kind of an awkward situation when you're in the living room, sort of like?
Not at all, because I know most of them. I know most of those guys. So
it's all just familiarity. Does it change the game? What you know what they know?
Not really. Kalani's 2 years removed from here now, not a significant impact whatsoever. Ituiaki the same way. He's a couple years removed. Trying to think who else is. Steve Clark was here at one time in an administrative role. So I don't think that has a bearing.
And yet, when you turn on the BYU Arizona game, you told us no surprises. You saw what was coming. You knew what was coming up.
Well, for the most part, it's not like I predicted every single thing was going to happen. But I know Ty's background and know their personnel. After playing them in the bowl game last year, and they're good coaches, and so they get their guys lined up in the right spots and do the right things with them.
But his personnel changed a little since the bowl game. I mean, Taysom wasn't in the bowl game, and Jamal Williams wasn't in the bowl game.
The core was there. The core is intact. But you're right. There are. Same with us. So there's new faces for us. I thought they did a really nice job against Arizona, and the plan was very good that they had.
A lot of your offensive staff comes from BYU, either as alums or from the coaching tree there. Is there some similarity to like maybe 90s BYU scheme, some things that BYU became known for?
Here in our offense?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. There's elements of, and it all goes back to Doug Scoble. He's the one that implemented it all. He was the mastermind of those great offenses, and the principles and the philosophies that he used are still being used today, and we're employing a lot of them, without a doubt.
Okay, was Steve Cavusi on your staff ever when you were DC?
Yeah, he was my defensive line coach. Got made DC, I was a D-line coach.
Right.
Then I got promoted to defensive coordinator, and he was the D-line. We hired him immediately.
He left when Urban came, right? Is that about
in that neck of the woods? Yeah, I think it was Coach Croton's second or third year that he made the transition.
There's a lot of crossover here.
There's a lot of crossover, yeah. People in this area, the Intermountain area, it's a great place to live, and people don't want to leave it. It's a great, great place to raise a family, and so I think that's a big reason why there's so much crossover.
What's this nonsense about you never having taken a nap in 20 years?
I wish I could. That's not nonsense. That's absolute fact. And so I just don't. I can't.
You can't? Well,
too high strung, I guess. You can barely sleep at night, let alone during the day.
Your eyes start to flutter, and you're like, no, I got to go recruit a kid.
Exactly. Something happens. I would kill to be able to. I can't. So.
How did the offensive line look in practice today?
Much more focused on what they're doing. Not that they were practicing poorly before, but you could tell it was ratcheted up two or three levels today. Same with the running backs.
So is that because they looked at the film of themselves?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're disappointed. There's nobody more disappointed than they are. They're a prideful group. They're a talented group. There's high expectations, and we didn't meet those expectations last week.
Was that because they didn't take the opponent that seriously? They knew they were better? Was that they were thinking, not playing?
Good question. I wish I had a great answer for you. I don't think it's the latter. I don't think there was too much in the scheme. I just think maybe a little bit of I just got to show up and it'll happen. It just doesn't work that way. You can't just show up. You got to be mentally ready.
So you're anticipating something that looks really different this week?
Well, we're anticipating a physical front, and that's we didn't have that last week, but we expect it this week.
Were you surprised that BYU held Arizona to 16 points?
There's not enough body of work on Arizona to determine what their, what kind of explosiveness they'll have this year. I know the one thing they did is they kept their offense on the sideline. You know, they only snapped it. Is there something like that? I keep feeling
something. You have nothing.
Nothing.
No TV.
Okay, they only snapped it. Barely half of what they usually do. They're a 90 a snap. Game a snap, or 90 snaps a game team, and I think, 50, 52? It was very, very unusual and very atypical of an Arizona offensive output, and again, credit BYU for controlling the football. They controlled the clock and controlled the ball.
Thank you, sir, for the